Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi and welcome. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking to an author and a coloring expert about the color of it all, women going gray. Carol Braley combines her areas of expertise of color and style as an image consultant, color analysis professional, and hair colorist. Prior to becoming an image consultant, Carol worked for several years in the financial services, healthcare, and film industries. Her latest positions in these industries included leadership and project management roles. Carol has worked alongside some of the top film industry professionals, including Academy Award nominees and recipients. She is a member of the Studio Fontana team located in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Elizabeth Benedict is a best-selling novelist, journalist, teacher of creative writing, editor, and writing coach. She has published 5 acclaimed novels and 3 acclaimed anthologies, including the recently published Me, My Hair, and I, 27 Women Untangle an Obsession, which was People Magazine's featured book of the week and number 4 on the Entertainment Weekly's must list. She says, ask a woman about her hair and you're likely to get the story of her life. Ask a whole bunch of women and you'll get the history of the world. Her book is intended to start a public conversation about why women are so obsessed with their hair. Elizabeth also runs a college application essay consulting firm called Don't Sweat the Essay. So welcome, Carol and Liz.
Hi.
Hi there.
So let's start with the science of it all. The myths say that you turn gray only as you get older. Carol, is that true?
Absolutely not. There are people who start to see the grays as early as their teens and 20s. We've all seen them. So, yeah, no, absolutely not.
What are some of the other myths and truths that we can bust today? Because gray hair is the subject of many discussions. It's the bane of many women's existence. It's the butt of jokes. What are some of the other myths that you hear?
I hear that stress is the cause of grays, which is absolutely false. It is primarily based on your genetics. If actually you want to see when you'll have gray hair, look to your parents. That's a great indicator on when you may turn gray. Another one I hear often is people plucking out their gray hairs on their head once they come out. But that's actually not a good idea to do. The hair will grow back, and it will grow back gray. But also, you could damage your hair follicle, and you may lose the entire hair for good. So that's not a good idea. Other things that I hear is that your lifestyle may cause gray hair. There are some indicators on this, such as smoking may elevate how quickly you turn gray and whatnot, but it's primarily based on your genetics.
So I'd like to just talk about some of the sort of non-scientific myths. This is Liz talking. I think there's obviously you get gray hair as you get older. I mean, 12-year-olds don't generally have gray hair, or 20-year-olds don't, even though there may be an anomalous case of somebody who's in her 20s who gets gray hair. But obviously, going gray is a sign of aging, and that's a no-no in our culture, and people, you know, now devote billions of dollars to pretending they're not aging. So the idea, it's no more than an idea, it's like a religion, that going gray or being gray or having gray hair is not attractive, that it makes you look old, that being old is bad, and that being old is not sexy or appealing to men or appealing to whoever you want to be appealing to. Those are all myths that I think need some, let's say, busting, let's say, examination. And I have a friend who went gray, and she said she thinks that it's sexier to have gray hair rather than to dye it when it goes gray, because it basically says I'm okay with myself rather than I'm afraid of who I am and I want to hide who I am. and that that kind of self-confidence and assertion is sexy to men, or sexy to whoever your partner is. So there are all kinds of myths about what's sexy, what's not, what's appealing, what's not. And obviously, as we age, we don't want to lose our sex appeal, our attractiveness to whomever we want to be attracted to. So I started to go gray recently. I mean, I started to stop dyeing my hair. And my husband recently said, you know, I really like your hair. I was sort of wondering what it would be like if you went gray, and I really like it. So I think that if you're married to somebody who wants you to have fake boobs and wants you to look like you're 12, he may not want you to have gray hair. But you've also bought into a whole package of who to be if you're with someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us who have escaped that fate might have partners who have a broader idea of what's attractive and what's sexy.
So, Carol, as a hair colorist, I'm wondering what you think graying hair means to the women that you work with.
I think it forces women to look at our own beauty and perhaps redefine it in some cases. If somebody has seen beauty on the outside versus the inside, going gray sometimes will make them really feel badly about themselves in some cases. And so, in my opinion, gray hair color is just that. It's another hair color option that becomes available to all of us, some earlier than others. And we need to either embrace it and feel great about it, or if you feel that you don't want the gray, then there are options available to you to remove the gray hair color, like color your hair over it. Also interesting, though, is when some women go gray, some of their workplaces frown down upon gray hair, and this may also factor into how they embrace the grays.
And I'm also wondering, are there different shades of gray? If somebody wanted to keep their gray, can they multi-layered different colors of gray?
That's an interesting. You could add in some sort of low lighting or highlighting to add some dimension to the gray.
Uh-huh.
You could also tone the gray to make it align to your skin undertone better, so whether you're warm, cool, or neutral. Those are a couple options. And then some people just get a nice gray streak as well in the front that looks nice.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. So, Liz, as the editor of Me, My Hair, and I, why did you choose to write a book about hair, and what did some of your essays convey about the relationship between themselves and their hair, and what were their feelings about going gray? Elizabeth, as the editor of Me, My Hair, and I, why did you choose to write a book about hair, and what did some of your essays convey about the relationship between themselves and their hair, and in specific, what were their feelings about going gray?
That is a lot of complicated questions. It would take me the rest of the show to answer fully, but I'm going to try to zero in on some of the really important things.
Sure.
Hair is an incredibly important part of our identity from the time we're children. If your hair is not taken care of, if you go to school every day with really seriously messy hair, it could be a sign. It's a very strong indicator that there's some kind of neglect. Doesn't mean there is, but hair is a lot of information about who we are, how we take care of ourselves, how we think of ourselves. And when hair is messed up, you know, it really could mean there's some neglect. But as you get older, your hair, particularly if you're a woman, signifies a great deal. It indicates your view of yourself, how available you might be sexually, how available you want to be or don't. If you cover your hair, as some religions require, you are sort of concealing your identity, your sexuality, all kinds of things. You're announcing your religious affiliation. You're announcing whether you're available or not as a sexual being. And you're announcing how serious you are. If you're applying for a job, you're going to do your hair one way. If you're going on a date, you're going to do your hair another way. So hair is an incredibly versatile and changeable element of our physical being, and it's probably the most changeable one that we have. We don't get a nose job on our way home from the gym, you know, but we might get a haircut and look completely different, or a new hair color. And so hair is almost like playing dress up when you're a kid. You can really play with it a lot. So it's a very rich topic, and I asked 26 women what their hair meant to them. and they went off in 1,000 directions. As far as going gray or letting one's hair go gray, I wrote about that subject, and then the author Ann Creamer, who wrote a book called Going Gray, wrote about her journey going gray. She wrote this book, and we put our essays back to back. Her book was called Going Gray, and my essay was called No, I Won't Go Gray. And I, at the time, was going out of my way to color my hair because I didn't want to look old. So she and I were sort of dueling. It was a friendly duel, and she ended up sort of winning because by the time the book went to the printer, I had already decided to go gray. I had always been very ambivalent about it. But Ann Creamer makes a wonderful case for going gray in her situation, and I think her most important point was that having gray hair makes her appreciate every day, and it makes her aware of her age, but in a way that seems positive for her, so she seizes the day every day rather than sort of pretending that time doesn't matter. That's been good for her.
Can you amplify on that a little bit more? Do you mean that for her, her mortality is always right in front of her? For example, when she looks in the mirror, she has a very profound sense of being in the here and now because life is too short. Is that how you mean it?
Yeah, I think that's what she means. That having, you know, red hair or brown hair made her have an illusion about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And having gray hair makes her say, okay, this is who I am. This is the life I have. This is, I have a more limited amount of time now than I had when I was 20, and therefore I will make every day count.
You know, this is really a fascinatingly rich topic. I think that we're uncovering an onion, and it's making me think more and more and more about something that people just see as a surface issue.
Mm-hmm. You mean the going gray or just the hair?
Both.
Yeah. Well, I think that what comes through with my book, Me, My Hair, and I, and a lot of women have said, I never really thought about my hair except like I have to get my hair done. And then they look at these essays by a sort of wide variety of writers of all persuasions, and they say, wow, this is actually much more significant and much deeper than I had thought it was. And I have to tell you that the going gray issue in terms of this book has surprised me because I thought there might be some other issues that were controversial. We have an essay on pubic hair, which I thought would sort of rattle a lot of bones. But in fact, it's the going gray that created the most controversy, if you will. And I mean, pretty well-meaning controversy, but people really have strong feelings about it. And they say, no, I'm not going to do this. Yes, I will. Yes, I have. But I also hear people say, you know, I really want to go gray, but the process is so laborious. I dread it, and I don't want to do it.
I'm also curious, just for the sake of this conversation, what's the average age of the women who wrote these essays?
They skew a little older. I mean, they're not kids in their 20s.
Okay.
And the fact that I can say kids in their 20s means that I'm older. They do skew older. Part of this is because I'm an older person, and those are some of the writers that I deal with. But also, when you do an anthology, even though it's sort of there it is as a book, you ask a lot of people who don't say yes. So I'm by no means apologizing for the book because I think the essays are fantastic. And I do have some younger women, but you're a little bit at the mercy of who says yes.
Sure.
And there were a bunch of younger women that I asked, and for whatever reasons, you know, they didn't want to write. But there is an essay by a woman, a young woman in her mid-20s, who's a bit anomalous. She got cancer when she was 22. She got leukemia. And she writes about losing her hair when she was 23 and about being sick, but about sort of looking at her illness through the lens of her hair. So she's quite a different young person.
Mm-hmm. Carol, I'm guessing that as a hair colorist, you're also a hair therapist. You're probably a personal therapist. And again, I'm going to shoot the same question to you. What do your clients convey to you about the nature of the relationship between themselves and their hair? And then again, what are their feelings about going gray?
So I completely agree with everything Liz just said, and I see it in the practical world in the hair salon. People are so attached to their hair, and no matter what color it is, frankly. I've had people call in because they've been up all night worried about how their hair roots were growing in and what have you. It really, in some cases, stresses people out.
Mm-hmm.
People have this vision, I guess, of how they want to look. And if they're not in alignment with that, they almost get in a bit of a panic. I can also say primarily people don't want to see the grays. You know, I have clients that come in every 2 weeks to cover up their grays.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're scared, mm-hmm. Some of them, when they see the grays. So it's pretty shocking. And a lot of it has to do with workplaces, too. If you're in the media, let's say, there's some media outlets that don't embrace the gray so much, such as TV, for women. So, you know, there are challenges with that as well. Even if you want to go gray, you can't because of your chosen work.
You know, it's interesting. One of the contributors to the book is Maria Hinojosa, who a lot of people know from National Public Radio, and she now has her own TV broadcasting company. But she describes how she started out in TV. She went to National Public Radio, but when she was in TV, when she started out in the 70s and 80s, she could pretty much do whatever she wanted with her hair, and as time went by, she was given more and more instruction about how she had to do her hair, and it had to be that the whole shiny blow-dry flat iron thing. And she came into conflict with her husband, who wanted her hair to be more like it was when before all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that her essay is called My Wild Hair. Her wild hair was very sexy, and the other hair that the TV's people made her do was, quote, corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came into play in her marriage. And I think African-American women have this in spades. They often can't wear natural. They have to use relaxers. You know, just the idea of having a natural is, like, scandalous for some women.
Mm-hmm.
Viola Davis apparently wore natural to the Oscars 1 year, and she was reviled, and she was trashed in the media. So African-American women have a whole other set of hair issues that we talk about in the book that are similar to but also unique to African Americans.
We're talking today to prolific author Liz Benedict and a coloring expert Carol Braley about The Color of It All, Women Going Gray, and their relationship to their hair. Carol, let's talk about the pragmatics for a moment. What should you do if you notice that you are going gray? What are some of the first steps a woman can do? And I am reminded of the cartoon where a woman notices gray hairs and starts plucking them out. You made it clear not to do this, but I don't think there are many of us who haven't at least tried it once. I'm wondering, so what can you do?
So the first step would be don't panic, in my mind. Don't panic. And like you said, don't start plucking your grays because it could lead to hair loss. I think a first step is really assess within yourself and decide if you want to have gray hair. You know, it can easily be changed. Really evaluate if you're ready to embrace gray hair on you as beautiful and when you see yourself in the mirror. Because I believe if you have any negative feelings attached to you going gray and you let yourself go gray, then those feelings are going to just go out into the universe as a lower energy vibration for you. People are going to feel that you don't have the confidence and what have you. So I really think you have to, as a first step, decide if you want to embrace the grays on yourself and see them as beautiful.
I just want to say that, of course, as we all know, I mean, you can color your hair for a while and then you can go gray. I mean, it's not one or the other. I do think I have heard that once your hair is gray, once it's all gray, it is harder to retain color. And maybe Carol can speak to that. I don't know if that's your
experience. No, that's not true.
Oh, okay.
Not in the environment I work at, anyways.
Okay.
I've recently actually had a client who had gone fully gray for years and made the decision to color her hair. It was a dark brown that she had chosen, and it fully took.
Oh,
not
okay.
A problem. But
okay.
It has to do also with the porosity of your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've been doing moisture treatments and whatnot and maintaining the health of your hair, the hair color should penetrate into mm-hmm. the hair okay.
Mm-hmm. Carol, is there a difference between the consistency, texture, and healthiness of hair that is gray as opposed to being a different color?
You know, some people find when their hair goes gray that it becomes more unruly a bit. Some people call it wiry. But it really has to do with the products that you're choosing for your hair and whatnot. So you may choose, if you've decided to go fully gray, to add more moisture to your hair a little bit more often. It also has to do with the products you use when you're styling your hair. Maybe you need to shift those products from what you were using prior to going gray. Yes, the texture of your hair may change, yes.
So I think this begets a greater discussion about women's age, aging, and our bodies. And for many of us who were raised in the 60s and 70s or thereabout, going natural and being natural was really what it's all about. Here you're asking women to employ what many women may feel is unnatural. Carol, can you speak a little about that?
I just feel being natural is just being yourself. And so it's really ultimately a decision that's up to you, going gray. You know, hair colors, yeah, they are not natural in terms of the chemistry of them. They're getting better with time, less ammonia and products and what have you, and we do have no ammonia products. But it truly comes back to the personal choice of the individual if they want to be natural or not. I work in the hair salon industry and recently made the decision to go gray myself. So it really has to do with a personal decision.
Mm-hmm. And Liz, as the editor of Me, My Hair, and I, don't the essays reflect women's ambivalence and concern and obsession and sadness about their own lives, about their own mortality, about the length of time they have left on this earth and how they appear to others, would you say?
I think the essays have to do with identity. I don't think the essays in my book in particular focus a lot on mortality unless people are talking about losing their hair to cancer, in which case it's, or to chemotherapy, you know, they are dealing with serious illness. I think a lot of the essays focus on people's history with their hair and a lot of them end up talking about how they've made their peace with their hair. They had an adversarial relationship. They were in conflict with their hair as young women, and as time went on, they came to love their hair as they came to love themselves. So a lot of them have that sort of arc.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them end up in a very positive place. So it's not all about fashion and beauty and being attractive sexually. You know, it's really about sometimes much deeper things. There are several stories about sibling rivalry. One sister has, quote, the good hair, which is the soft, smooth hair, and the other sister has frizzy hair, and that becomes like emblematic of the relationship between the two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all about sexuality and even mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that my sister and I have conflict over hair. But when I started to go gray, I didn't see her for a long time. And I went to her house and I thought, oh, God, what's she going to say? She's going to criticize me. She's going to tell me this is terrible. And she said, oh, I think your hair looks great. And the fact that I knew it was genuine because I knew she would. Or she would have been frank with me
sure.
if she had a criticism.
Sure.
So the other thing I want to say about hair that's really interesting that I think is hair has this really strange place on our bodies. People feel they can talk about another person's hair. They'd say, you know, your hair looks funny. I don't think that's the right color for you. They
mm-hmm.
wouldn't say, have you gained weight?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. They'd say, I'm not sure that's the right color. Or I sat down with a very polite friend of mine. I hadn't seen her in 6 months. She says, your hair's too dark. This is a woman who would have never criticized me about anything. But hair is such a strange thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a pregnant woman's belly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, it's sort of public property. And people can say, oh, can I touch it? And can I touch you? And, you know, it's a physical thing that's kind of public-private, even though, of course, it's attached to our body. But people don't go around touching our breasts. But they do say, your hair is interesting. Can I touch your hair? It has a unique place on the body.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is actually such an interesting comment, Liz. I was actually talking to the owner of my salon just a couple weeks ago, and mid-sentence, he stopped me and he said, you do realize you got gray in your hair right now.
He acted like it was a crime.
And it was his business, right? And you were, and you didn't know about it.
Exactly.
No, but I mean, they wouldn't say mean things about your husband or your child, but they'd say, your hair looks bad.
Sure.
It's very, very strange.
Are there any bonuses to turning gray? Either of you have thoughts?
I'm going to let Carol go first. I want the last word on this.
Well, I think, you know, you can let go of hair color maintenance every, you know, how 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if that's definite bonus. It's also a great way to embrace a new phase in your life. I think it's about embracing who you are and who you're becoming. And I truly think gray can look amazing on several people. It's all about how you embrace it and how you feel about it. You define your own sexy, right?
Liz?
Yeah, well, Ann Creamer, when she was writing her book on going gray, did some math. And she realized that she had spent $65,000 coloring her hair.
Oh, my.
And so she put a number to it. And she was sort of chagrined when she did this because she said, I could have sent my kids to college with this money. Now, she did it, and, you know, you do the things you do for the reasons you do them. But, I mean, I think the money is a huge issue,
mm-hmm.
and it's a huge issue for most people. And the idea that you're not spending X amount of dollars every month or every whatever is huge.
And I was going to mention the fact that I think that this industry does lend itself to people who obviously have money easily and more readily, because I think that if you're really struggling monetarily, you may not choose to have this on the top of your list of things to spend money.
The beauty industry makes women feel bad about themselves. That's how they make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. You have to feel young, and you have to feel, and you need to spend a lot of money to feel all those things. And a lot of people make a lot of money from making you feel bad.
Sure.
The beauty industry is a huge industry, and it preys on our fears.
Carol, as a final word, what is the difference between men going gray and women going gray and their perceptions of it?
It's very interesting you say that, because I see men in the hair salon only coming in for haircuts. They're more readily embracing the grays and letting it grow in. And I think we see it as more refined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see them with gray hair and see, oh, he's so refined.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and sexy.
Men can be
sexy
with
sexy
gray hair. Absolutely. And, you know, it's almost like we see men with gray hair like George Clooney and things like that and think, oh, he's looking good these days. And whereas a woman, when she goes gray, you know, it could be, oh, she's letting herself go. You know, that sort of mindset. So women generally aren't as readily in the position or wanting to embrace the gray. So that's actually a very interesting conversation.
Sure. We've been talking to two guests today about women going gray. Image consultant Carol Braley can be found at carolbraley.com and virtualcoloranalysis.com. Prolific author and writing coach Elizabeth Benedict, the editor of Me, My Hair, and I, can be found at elizabethbenedict.com and don'tsweattheessay.com. I want to thank you both for joining us. I'm getting warmed up. I wanted to have greater discussions about women's perceptions of their own body, but we're out of time. So thank you.
Thank you for having us. It was great to talk to you, Carol.
Yeah, great to talk to you, C-Man Liz.
Thank you both for joining us today for this wonderful half hour. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.